28. On, I said, Ikasati. He ignores the pain. Aloft, his wings powering, he races like a missile, the sanguinary guard at his heels. Their speed and sweeping agility make them hard targets to track. They bank under and between the spans of the scissor arches, using the screen of these great structures to shield themselves from chasing gunfire. Now the ceiling and the arches stipple and pock, a mirror of the ruined tracts of floor. Beyond the third great arch, with some broken feathers eddying from his wings, Sanguinius turns hard and swoops in upon a gallery on the second level. The sons of Horus there balk as they see him swoop at them like a plunging eagle. He falls upon them. Two sons of Horus are smashed over the gallery rail by the backstroke of the blade in carmine. Two more are impaled on the spear in his left hand. Another is broken under his feet as he lands. He swings the spear, throwing off the skewered dead, sending their burning corpses flying to tumble other sons of Horus like skittlepins. Encarmine rips, a bar of red light, and two more fall, cut asunder through the torso, blood dappling his feathers like rain. Another crashes his warhammer into the Primarch's thigh and loses his head for his temerity. A bolt round detonates against Sanguinius's breastplate, causing him to wince and stumble. The officer, a company captain, fires his bolt gun again, but Sanguinius has already hurled the spear of Telesto, and the shots fly wild as the officer is staked against the back wall of the gallery, his feet dangling. Sanguinius ploughs into the mass, slicing in carmine two-handed. The blade passes through ceramite and plasteel, through chainswords trying to strike, through bolt guns rising to fire, through storm shields held in frantic defense, through chest plates, pauldrons, and helms. Clouds of blood vapor, smoke, and splinters billow around him like a halo. Encarmine splits a massive terminator, one of the vaunted Justarin, but wedges fast in the thickness of the plate. Sanguinius releases the blade, pushing the dead Terminator away while wrenching the huge warhammer from its dead fingers. With that trophy, lavishly wrought and weighted with a uranium core, he continues his merciless advance, cracking armor, splintering visors, and pulping the organics within with transmitted hyperconcussions. Hammer scale sprays from crumpled plate. Blow by inhuman blow, he clears the gallery, leaving bodies buckled in his wake, and breaks his way beyond the arch into the next gallery, another proud span of colonnade where once the lunar wolves stood cheering his name. Their inheritors die miserably in the same spots. He slaughters and ignores the pain. Proud Terwelt Ikasati meets him, coming the other way. The sanguinary guard's golden war gear is running with gore. With sword and fusion maul, Ikasati has purged the next gallery along. Below them, Furio's squads make rapid advance down the main floor, the hail of suppressing fire much reduced. "My lord," Ikasati says. Sanguinius tosses the hammer aside. The head of it is deformed from furious employment. It strikes and cracks the gallery wall and falls to the deck. "On!" Sanguinius grunts. He turns to recover his spear and sword from the corpse piles. "My lord, on, Terwelt, on, and again, no pause. We clear these galleries one by one. Purge them and cut our way to the traitor's heart." Ikasati switches from battlecant to informal Enochian, and his voice drops. "My lord, you are hurt." Sanguinius frees Encarmine from the dead Justarin and glances down. The bruise of soot on his chest plate, where the bolt round hit him, still smoulders. The pain is hard to ignore now. "You were hit." "On, I said, Ikasati," Sanguinius growls. The sanguinary guard stares at him, then nods, and leaps from the fractured balustrade, wings wide. Blood is leaking from the seams of Sanguinius's abdominal armor. The blood is dirty, and he can smell the sickly rot of it. He barely felt the bolt impact, and it did not cause this wound. It simply angered the older injury he carries, the one he has been most carefully concealing. Angron's blade bit him deep, deeper than any wound he has ever sustained, and he is certain that the blade was toxic with infection. He can feel the poison in his blood, the clammy numbness of his organs, the tear and grind of the unhealing wound every time he moves. The dressings he packed across his torso have ruptured. He grits his teeth. He can ignore it. He did not foresee Angron as his killer, so this wound is not fatal. This will pass. It will heal. Besides, he only has to keep going for a while. They are almost there. The day will reach an end. He will reach Horus very soon. He jerks the spear of Telesto from the wall where it pins its smouldering kill. He will not halt until he gets to the end. The end, or whatever else might be waiting for him there.